You know what I would do?
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 Okay, today we're coming in with that 9 a.m. energy. We're fired up. We're tired up.
Well, hold on a second. It's Sorry a little after
that.
9.
Yeah, yes.
So let's be clear about
but
that.
But we are still bringing... I think that that is you being passive aggressive and wanting to point out that maybe I've dilly-dallied a little bit this morning.
Hey, why are we a little louder? I don't know. Maybe because the distance between us is growing.
Do you feel that we're
physically
screaming? I didn't feel that we were screaming at all.
Not yet. I'll scream right fucking now.
Yeah. Oh my God, he blew out his knee.
I don't give a fuck.
Now, before we get into all of our normal stuff today, something I was thinking about that
I have to bring it up.
It's a random thing because you like to jump right into the doo doo. I like to walk around the doo doo and get into it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I noticed today that my daughter has this, what I consider to be a classic kid thing that they do, which is that she will just find any item and then now it is like her prized toy. Like we just have this like chunk of like magnetized metal. I have no idea what it is or where it came from, but it is like if it's ever missing, it's everything is bad. Yes, you there?
Yeah, I have a question. Magnetized metal. Isn't all metal magnetized?
No, sir.
Okay, so some metals just don't have any magnets inside.
That's perfectly stated, yeah.
Okay.
Now, there's like a gradient of magnetization. Some metals are magnetized easier than others, and some do not hold a magnetic charge. Yes, the same guy with the question?
Another question. So all metals are magnetized?
Everything has a... No. I'm going to stick with the first answer. I think I got to be more glib.
So the first answer, some metals don't have magnets inside.
We're just going to say no magnets inside of all of them. Anyway, so I was thinking about, I then had this memory from my childhood of early embarrassment that I wanted to share with you. Because sometimes I'll just remember it and I'll just feel sad about it. And I thought that think it was funny.
Once you say it, it's gone.
We were having this like a block party in Chicago. Do you guys have block parties in Miami or is it just all day long?
It's too hot.
Yeah. Where they like seal off the ends of this block and then like people are hanging in the street drinking beers and, you know, grilling or whatever. I think I was probably like 9 years old. Men in Black had very recently come out.
Great movie.
And I loved it.
We can talk about it.
And so all of these people who would not normally be at our house are like hanging out in our backyard because kind of like all the families are sort of like hosting like different sort of hangout areas. Yeah. And at some point, I don't know how I got this in my head, but I found, you know, like that little sort of like cylinder thing that you put a roll of toilet paper on.
Yeah.
One of the ones we had in our home, I loved, and it was like a heavy metal feel to it.
Yeah, the one that has a spring.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looked to me very much like the memory eraser thing from Men in Black.
Yeah.
And so I was like, almost that I thought it looked so similar that everyone would be their first thought when they saw it.
Of course.
And so these cooler kids are hanging out in our backyard, and I have that in my pocket.
Here we go.
And then I go up to them, and I remember I acted this. I was like, I just found the craziest thing in the alley.
Holy shit.
And they were like, what? These are guys I've never spoken to. And I was like, yeah, I've just found the craziest thing. It's so weird. And I'm like really trying to set it up. And then I like produce it and I kind of, and then I like have my thumb on it so that it's down and then it like springs up and I act like I hadn't seen it do that.
Uh-huh.
And then they all go, that's for toilet paper. And then I was like, it is? Oh, and I'm like still trying to maintain the same sense of wonder, and it was really sad. Yes, exactly. But in the moment, they were like, "He's just really full of wonder."
I think there's a couple things you can take from that. I'm just going to speak for you because you just talked a lot right now.
Yeah.
First thing I want to say: the wonderment, the imagination, awesome.
Yes,
keep that, dude.
Yes,
keep that. Don't lose that.
I've had doctors try to extract it from me to sell for profit.
Buddy, I'm telling you right now, you're sitting on a gold mine, okay? Mm-hmm. And that gold is oil.
Yes.
And that oil,
silver, baby.
Yes.
So you got that imagination, you got that drive. Keep that going forever, okay? Second thing, you know why they're a little weirded out? This is something contextually I want you to take into consideration here.
Okay.
You said you found it in the alley.
Yes.
They go.
It seemed more mysterious to me to say alley.
Of course
I can't
it
find
does.
It. What if I said I found it in my bathroom?
Well, then they're like, because you took it from the.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to dox your ass.
Exactly.
So by saying it was the alley, you're like, it could be anything.
Exactly.
Look at this like foreign object, foreign metal.
It's
is
more
it magnetized?
Likely that something will fall from the sky and land in the alley than, for example, in my bathroom.
Most likely.
Yeah.
And the other thing, though, I want you to note is that they weren't just generally dismissing you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were going, that's gross. You found a toilet spring holder in the alley.
They're like, you shouldn't be holding that.
Somebody dumpied that.
Yeah.
Or with that.
Yep.
Somebody dumpied that. Yep. And then I'm just going to end the sentence.
Yeah.
Somebody dumpied that.
Yeah.
So it's not as embarrassing as you think.
Yeah.
Definitely cringy.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, as you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say definitely again.
Yeah.
Because I've said it like, what, five
times? For me, it's obviously and definitely trauma.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for someone listening to it,
yeah.
Super cute, super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. LOL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
endearing. Nothing.
It was sad. I remember feeling it was very sad when I put it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I put it back in the bathroom
yeah, yeah.
and then put a roll of toilet paper.
Because you've reholstered that magic item.
Yeah.
And it's not shiny anymore.
Yeah. And for years after, I would see it and go like, that yeah. was embarrassing.
Well, you every time you take a dump, you have some sort of resentment,
yep.
shame that comes mm-hmm. through with it. And not because your butthole's opening and pushing.
No, nothing to do with that.
Brown tube.
No, no.
Well, really is
no,
a
I accept the brown tube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of that, we got an audience doo-doo. Okay.
All of that, one large transition.
Now, if I can say this, I will.
Whoa. A new phrase for the pod.
Yes.
Now, if I can say this, I will. Put it on a shirt.
Hey, tell me to.
Although it really does feel like it's like a First Amendment right thing. If you put that on a shirt,
if you put anything on a shirt, people are going to say that's for gun rights.
Yeah.
If I have a shirt that says, but first coffee, and they go, what after that? My AR-15.
Yeah.
It's just like, everything's about guns.
You can have this for free. It should be the word, but with a hyphen, but first coffee.
Anytime I see a shirt,
you can have that for free.
I'm like that someone's going to make it to a gun rights argument.
Yeah. 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 We're having two separate conversations right now. We're far enough away from each other in the room that we're having separate bits.
Anytime I see a t-shirt, I'm like, that's for sure about gun rights.
Anytime I hear butt first coffee, I think that'll clear you out.
No, hell yeah, it is. Butt first coffee? You're trying to get into enema coffee?
Yeah.
But to the point I was saying, think of any shirt.
Yeah.
And then you know some gun nut's going to make an argument for pro guns based on that shirt.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that. I love that their minds do that.
That's amazing.
I love that. Now they go on to say.
I have this doo-doo. Not from the Patreon.
What the fuck?
Not from the Patreon.
What?
From our email at youknowpod@gmail.com, where you, Mike, can email at us.
Yep.
Okay. An audience due to a question you want answered, anything at all.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about it on the pod. We're going to get down to the brass tacks of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? If anyone's going to get taxed, it's going to be the brass.
Oh, yeah. That all seems right? That seems right.
And then that's it. So this comes all the way from our email.
Okay.
So just so you know, it's still open.
Yeah, yeah.
Email at us.
You have some very weird small dick energy today about the email address in particular.
Well, you know what? Because you made a comment about it last time that it was pay to play.
Yeah, well, it is.
All right.
You do have a badness in you that when someone points out something that is true, you've been stewing on this for a few days and you're like coming in here to like challenge me. It is true what I said. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, why don't you tell the truth?
I did.
They go on to say, first time doing stream of consciousness nonsense. So if this is embarrassing and missing the point, all good.
Mm.
You're going to love this. For Joey to ask Mike,
mm-hmm.
so me to ask you, you're late. I don't know what for. You're grabbing your wallet, your bag, protein bar just in case. Where's your keys? You're checking your pants, jacket, in the couch, the little thing you put on the wall to hang your keys on but never remember. You try the door and the Lamborghini key unlocks it.
Mm.
So this random Lamborghini key that unlocks it. So you're like, huh, but you get in because you got to go and whatever. No time to figure this out. You turn the car and the engine roars like nuts. So you have a specific key. It's like it's got a dangling Lamborghini insignia.
Yeah.
You just go into your car. It works.
Lambo.
Lambo, baby. You look around and your car has turned into a Lamborghini. So you're speeding down the highway and you think, what's going on with this key? And so you're trying it on other stuff, like the door to your house turns into a mansion. Your little memory box you haven't looked at in years.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a bunch of gold in it.
Okay.
Open a bank. Everyone inside addresses you like, how you doing, Mr. Bank President?
Okay.
Thanks, George Urich.
Okay.
So.
Now, first of all, I feel that the way that. I wouldn't call that stream of consciousness, but I feel also
for George, I mean,
that the way that it's written and the way that you were reading it, it feels like that trailing off thing that's written in the minds of Moria they're coming off the walls.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming.
Well, we don't know what was going on with George.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know if he was trapped in a situation.
Yeah, it just sounded like that. Like, now, first of all, love a lot of the imagery. I like this idea of the key that makes things a little bit better, and then like the nicer, fancy thing.
Can we also
thing.
Just say, as a comment to this, that first time doing it? First time doing it?
I don't follow.
What do you mean? It's the first time they're doing it. They just said that. Can we give some grace?
Oh, you're telling me I'm being too harsh by saying just the obvious, which is that it's not stream of consciousness? It's not stream of consciousness.
Well, I mean,
it's not a... Sometimes I think you're so sensitive on the behalf of someone else that you're creating the controversy that doesn't exist for them, and you're positioning me against them. Where I'm just saying, just as a matter of sheer fact, that's just not how stream of consciousness works. It's just normal. That's just normal writing. You just
have
like wrote.
Attacked? You have maligned our audience.
No, sometimes
listeners?
I'll malign. Sometimes I'll malign the quality. I'm not even maligning the quality here. I'm just saying, oh, that's just not. That's like saying, like, I'm gonna give a second person a whack here, and then the whole thing's in first person. I'm like, oh, just as a matter of course, that's not second person.
But didn't they try?
But I just go, it's
didn't
just not it. I don't care.
Try?
I don't care. You're making the participation award argument, but it's actually toxic. It wasn't stream of consciousness. Stream of consciousness would be like that it's all connected through like micro thoughts of like the drifty consciousness of a person. You know?
Let's not get into the minutiae of this. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's
but it is interesting. I will say this. As far as going for stream of consciousness, they've sort of done a similar thing that you have done in the past where you will arrive at something that, you know, some like literary classic does by sheer accident. And this one, the fact that it's about missing the keys and being about the keys, Ulysses has a ton of stuff, and Ulysses is a stream of consciousness, has a ton of stuff about people misplacing their keys and trying to find their keys.
It's a common occurrence.
Yeah.
Misplacing the keys.
Yeah.
Because it's the one thing we're not conscious of when we
By the way, you got to use the key hook. If you got a key hook in your house, I am militant about my key
hook. I'm a key tray kind of guy.
Regardless, if you have a set spot for it, I'm going into Lauren's purse. I'm fishing out her keys to put them there. I'm like, we're not going to respect the hook.
What the fuck is up with your partner's not acknowledging a place for everything and everything in its place?
Yeah. She'll say that, though.
And then what happens? You get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to George.
Yeah, no, I don't think I had anything. I was just saying that he should hang the keys on the key hook as one thing. I'm curious what would happen to me and my body. And maybe this is what I would do if I took those keys and I maybe put it right in my butt and turned it.
Interesting. You wouldn't go through the belly button.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should have.
Because you're going through the butt, that's a whole different transformation.
You're right. No, I would go through
Too late.
Damn.
Too late, bud. Yeah. I go to the core first.
Yeah, no, the belly button makes way more sense.
Of course it does.
You'll turn into the Pillsbury Doughboy you've always wanted.
Yeah, I mean, like, the belly button has natural ribs for a key to slide into and then unlock.
No, you're totally right. I don't know why I went right for the butt.
So deep as well, the belly button.
Yeah, and the butt is, like, it's such a confusing thing to try and figure out how to do all that.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way to figure out
what. So I guess what I would do is I would accidentally embarrass myself in front of my friends and the listening audience by saying I would put the Lambo key in my butt.
God, this is what I would do about being asked to read something to Mike from an audience listener for the point of a podcast presentation in the initial segment. George, I would first off say, hey, give me a little more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And also I would say, you know what, if I was George, actually I'll be in George's position, I'm clearly setting up some kind of usurper situation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like get into my head as Joey, as George, to let me know as Joey, as George, that there's somebody else coming in here to take my spot as Joey.
I'm following this effortlessly.
So
I don't even have to
George
think.
Is creating an environment in which me, Joey, is thinking like George, as George is writing for me.
Yes.
That
Joey.
I am not in the position that I thought I was.
For George.
So I need to start thinking of a way
as
for
Joey.
Myself to get back to where
to
I need
George.
To be so George can come back in
Into
here
Joey.
To let me know as Joey,
so that, Joey
that I'm not George.
Not George.
George is not Joey.
Separate entity.
But if we can combine forces and understand
George
that, you
and
know
Joey.
What, this is just a fun time. It's not as important as I'm putting the pressure on
Yes.
as Joey. George can have a good time.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I want everyone to do is have a good time.
Yeah, and so, I got to say, I hope that helped.
I hope that helped.
I really hope that helped. I'm excited about today.
Oh, shit.
I'm excited.
Dude, yeah,
it's
you are.
It's a good... I really mean it. I think recording before noon is essential for my energy.
It is very helpful. It's also like working out before you do anything else in the day.
Yes.
It's just good.
Yes.
You know what? If anyone's listening to this and you're driving around or you're at work or maybe you're doing dishes or maybe you're working in some kind of small cupboard or a mine.
Yeah.
Or you're, let's say you're sewing or you're typing or whatever, or you're painting. You're looking through a glass.
Like anything that you might be doing in which you don't have to be engaging with another person, so you have headphones on or your phone is connected to a speaker and you're listening to a
podcast.
Or
you're talking to somebody
else. I want
to
whoop your...
I want you right now. Yeah. It's before noon. Drop everything. Start recording the podcast.
Yes.
All right, do that.
Sprint over to your friend's house with a microphone and just get into it.
Now, I have a sickness where I find bridges everywhere, and this bridge is leading us to another podcast, an ancient one, another recorded device. We're talking about Cyrus's cylinder.
All right. Whoa. That was crazy. I just like woke up from like an amnesiac dream. It was really disturbing.
I just can't help
creating
these connections.
Long, confusing, quote unquote segue.
Hey, let me tell you, you get there.
Yeah.
You get there.
Yeah.
Some people are going to want to take a shorter route, but let me tell you that. There's snakes on their route. And also, I got snipers on the hill, bud.
Yeah, but when we arrive there, we are not the people who headed there.
No.
We've changed completely.
Totally. You changed bodies.
Yeah. It's like that one famous picture of that guy who it was like, I think it was in World War
One. Yeah.
And it's like a picture of him before and then 2 years later. It's like such a short amount of time, and he looks... so changed.
Yeah.
It's like that with all of your segues.
What happened to him? Was he smoking? So this is...
Yeah, so this is something I know nothing about, but I'm excited about it. Say it again.
Cyrus's cylinder.
Wow.
Now, this is really fun shit. Get ready to open your fucking minds up to this crap. It's fun as shit. Super fucking important. Really fun shit. Cyrus, you can talk ad nauseum about the fucking guy. You know what I'm saying?
I can't.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I would not be able to.
All right, so.
I wouldn't even be able to talk at whatever the shortest Latin word is. Ad. I can't even talk ad about him.
You will after the end of this, all right?
Okay.
So, Cyrus the Great. I'm sure.
Cyrus the Virus.
Listen to
if
that.
If he was
right?
in Con Air.
Yeah, he might have gotten cast, but where does that name come from? Mm-hmm. Cyrus the fucking Great. Babylonian king, bud. Okay. Really important figure. We'll talk about him later. Mike is obviously going to get obsessed and juiced out of his ass.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the cylinder, and you have no idea what the fuck this is, okay?
True.
So the cylinder is not like a traditional tube, all right? Think of it as like a rolling pin. Right, but not completely cylindrical. It's got like a little mound in the top, in the center, right? So it's like it can go back and forth, a little seesaw.
Sure.
And it has writing all around it.
Okay.
Okay. This is, as far as we know, the oldest recorded writing piece.
Okay.
3,500 plus years ago, BC.
Okay.
BC stands for before chicken. Mm-hmm. So before all that, right?
So where do the chickens come from?
We don't know. Yeah. Show me the egg, asshole. All right. So this is the oldest writing that we have physically. Okay. So
only that old?
As we found.
Are you sure there's not older?
There probably is. As I understand it.
Yeah.
As it's been instructed to me through something that I remember hearing from a guy that I heard say this.
Yeah.
Through another person.
Yeah.
That I wasn't involved in that conversation.
I will say right now, I do not think that is accurate. That's the oldest writing is only 3,000 years.
I'm just saying.
Hey, maybe you're right. Oh, okay. Well. I do think it's older, but I can't resolve that right now.
You're probably right. I'm probably wrong. I'm just saying
some kind of writing because I.
It's cuneiform, right? So this is like just like phonetic. You just read like what it says and it sounds out the word. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So that's like the oldest version. Maybe it's like that version of it. Whatever the fuck.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, because they have all this like they have all these documents of like old math and stuff that people were doing,
right? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Keeping track of like wheat and all this sort of shit that I would assume predates 3,000 years, but maybe not.
No, who knows?
History is long and short and confusing.
Well, I mean, it's like which what they have, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
So it's this rolling pin, right, that has this writing on it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And as you can imagine, something that old is very, very important for the fact of like that these scribes, right, these artisans were writing on it. Okay. So really important shit. Most of human tradition is oral tradition.
Yeah.
So writing stuff down is like a big fucking to-do.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a big reason for it.
Yeah.
The reason for it is in Babylonian tradition, these cylinders were used to display power, but not physically, right? What they would do is they would take these cylinders, different kings, right, and they would bury them inside the foundation of buildings, right? And they would like put them in a box, make sure they're secure, put them either like wherever that was, like would not be like just like on the roof or the wall, but like, you know, something like secured.
Uh-huh.
The point of this is twofold. Number one, the gods could see through walls so they could read it and they would know who's like king shit and they'd be like, that's our guy.
Okay.
And the second
fun. I like that reasoning.
That's just for everyone else. The real reason is that once these buildings would be destroyed naturally, erosion of time or like whatever the fuck it is, another king would come across, find the cylinder, go, oh shit, this mother, Mike had this building.
Yeah.
We got to rebuild it for Mike out of respect. So your legacy continues.
Wow, very hopeful thinking.
And then you put the cylinder back, right? Uh-huh. Which did happen. Like kings over generations did that. And that was like, that was the tradition.
And people would actually find and
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're strong structures, but still like if one was to erode, whatever, they'd be like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. That was the point of it. Cyrus puts one in there, right? For propagandic purposes.
Okay.
So like they find this and like it's him just kind of rewriting history for himself.
Love that.
So that everyone knows that he's the fucking guy and he's the shit. During this time there was
this is the dawn of fake news.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, I mean
A written fake news.
This is happening a lot, but like this is like the earliest version of that, right? Where it's like, hey, we're letting you know revisionist history shit.
Yeah.
So during this time in Babylon, the king's name, I forgot his name. This is
Claudius.
No, it's something weirder.
Maximilian Stradius.
Nabolivia? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so this dude, this is also why it gets really interesting for me, is worshiping the moon god. Leaves his position and his status in Babylon.
Cyrus the Virus does.
No. Oh. This other king. We're going to
The guy whose name you don't know.
Let's call him Mike.
Okay.
So Mike leaves, right? Mm-hmm. Goes to worship the moon god, which is his mother's. She's a disciple of that, right? She's an acolyte of that. And then she pushes on him, the moon god.
I'm picturing with the moon god that it's like the sun god from Teletubbies, where it's a little baby's face.
Interesting.
In the center
I was thinking of a crescent moon with like drawn on stick feet and like stick hands.
Uh-huh.
And then.
And they're like really trying to go somewhere, but they can't because there's no atmosphere. Yeah.
And these people are worshiping, sacrificing for this. So he leaves his position as king in Babylon to go worship.
Mm-hmm.
In Arabia, where the fuck it was,
sure.
Where he builds a temple to the moon god. Big to do in Babylon because that ain't their main deity. Who's their main deity?
Ra.
Marduk. Okay? Marduk is their main guy, right? Marduk can bench what? 260. Marduk can squat what? 260. Mm. Marduk can run
keeps
the
all around
40 in how long?
260.
Yeah, 2.6 seconds.
Right. Okay, right? Great.
But it's not 60 then because you then don't add three. A zero after... After
three,
that.
Then?
So 2.601. So then you do have the 2.6.
Let's talk about this off mic.
So big fucking problem. Cyrus comes in there, takes over, yada, yada, like that. And then says.
What'd you say the name was? Mardu?
Marduk.
Mardu is from Brave, from the Pixar movie Brave. It's a bear character.
Oh, interesting. Maybe it's the god from Babylon. Anyway, so Cyrus comes in. Says Marduk is his boy, and like Marduk told him to do this shit, yada, yada, like that, all the crap. Everyone's like, okay, sure, I guess. Like, not 100%, but like, okay, saying that Marduk is a guy, and then goes on from there.
Yeah.
The other dude, Mike, right?
Yeah.
Who is not, like, you know, the liked person, all that shit, was pretty much like just like a religious bigot. Like, was like, this guy's like, moon only, anything else, fuck you. And enslaved... The Israelites when they were originally coming through that area. And then Cyrus is the one who's like, all right, get the hell out of here. You guys are free and you can go build a temple, whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Cyrus's imprint in history, not only is it impactful from the fact that like he is that not like a lot of people are called the great. He was one of the greats.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually like sets up the empire again, like actually does like crazy military shit, like, you know, good fucking emperor for that time. Sociopath.
Yeah.
Crazy psychopath.
Yes.
Right? But for the context of biblical history, he is necessary for so many things to take that to make sense of like the history of the Hebrew scripture and the Old Testament. So just pouring coffee in a cup?
Yeah. This is an ASMR podcast.
Yeah, okay, great. If it's an ASMR podcast,
people want it. People go, I love those parts when there's the breaks and then I get to hear the ASMR thing.
There's no breaks, man.
That's a little break, wasn't it?
There's no break.
Didn't we just get a calm little moment?
Of you pissing in a cup?
I didn't piss. We got video evidence.
So all of this, the cylinder, his history, Marduk, all this stuff, whether we like it or not, confirms a religious lineage, a religious history that is impacting us today.
extrapolate on that.
So Cyrus being real, yeah, right? Like someone getting name dropped. Like, yeah, we can.
Oh,
find, like,
I see.
Like,
I see.
All these things can trace back to be like, well, that happened. So then this happened.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Happened,
you're
this.
Saying it provides enough of a connective tissue, yes, for those. For people to be like, see?
Yep, it's all real.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, this dude just doing something that, like, politically,
yeah,
right? And then has impacts, thousands of years later.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what the fuck a PS5 is.
Yeah.
Right? But this instrument, this cylinder,
yeah,
is so powerful and so important to the written history as well as, like, the actual history we live in.
Yeah.
So that's all.
So how does the cylinder work, though? It's got raised letters,
recessed,
and you roll it out.
It's not like a printing thing.
Okay.
It's just recessed. They just, like, write.
So it's like
in
a scroll.
Yeah, they write it in with a stylus.
Oh, okay.
And
okay,
then they imprint it onto clay, mm, and that's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds advanced.
Yeah, for the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know it is.
Cool. That's great. Now, I do feel like, because you attacked me right out of the gate for talking for, yeah, a long time, you said?
Yeah, because you were
talked,
answering
you
that thing.
You just talked for so long.
Well, you could...
I'm just saying, like, I almost feel that we
feel
maybe need to put
pressure.
You in some kind of a silence corner
I
for a little
bit. I feel a lot
bit.
Of pressure when I'm talking about things that are fun and educational that,
yeah,
you just are going to check out.
Yeah, yeah,
and you're
yeah.
going to, I'm having a good time energy.
Yeah.
It's dipping immediately.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I feel the pressure.
Yeah, of. Yeah. No, I would say while I was watching you during that very long presentation, I was feeling like I could really see you as like a much hated teacher at like a Dead Poets Society style school for boys.
Why? Because I beat the kids?
Because you beat the kids, you're verbally abusive, but also like you talk for so long. Like you would talk for that long like you just did, and then you would go, okay, calculus homework is page 16 to 29,
wow,
and it has nothing to do with what,
yeah,
we were
so
just talking
about. Yeah, so
I'm
teaching calculus?
Yeah, it's a calculus class.
I'm
but
bad
you just,
at calculus.
You just, yeah, oh yeah, no, I know, and you are always saying that, but you say that at the end, and you go, and calculus is hard, but I got all the answers, boys.
Because I have the book.
Good luck, because I don't get these answers, and then you send them off. And so then they're all leaving, and they're like, he just talked for so long,
yeah,
but he never said scroll. He just kept talking about the cylinder, but he never said scroll. It would have clarified so much if he just said scroll.
And what are you doing now? What are you doing now?
Now we're talking about how we got to do this calc homework.
No, Mike, you're also talking long.
Not nearly as long. Not nearly as long. But that does highlight, I think, the compression and expansion of time for you, where when you are talking, I think time feels very short,
yeah,
and like you think you're not going for very long.
Right.
But when you're listening, time feels very long,
oh
and you're getting
God.
Really bored and very,
yeah,
mad and very frustrated,
yes,
and very hostile.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I think I can always see that happening. If I'm talking for too long, I see the eyes go black. I see the body posture change. I see it all. It's very, very interesting.
I get tense.
Yeah, I know. I feel it. I really can feel it. It makes me feel like I'm your therapist and you're like kind of waiting to have like the moment where you really start screaming and you blame me, you know, like I can really feel that. Now, here's the thing that I would do about Cyrus the virus. I would.
Different person.
In Con Air. No, I thought we were talking about Con Air.
No.
No. No. Well, I really think that all of those sorts of, I really like this idea of like the fake news element of what he's doing. I think that all of our, when we, however we're buried in a casket, shot into the sun, like I would like to be.
The cardboard box.
In a box. You made it cardboard. I think that you should have a little cylinder with you that that lists a bunch of things about you that are not true. Just like, kind of like hype up whoever might find your body and
so
and
like
all that.
They have those medical bracelets with your blood type. And all
yeah,
that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. But on it, it would say like can bench 380.
Damn.
You know, like that, or could bench. I guess it would
like,
have
so
to
it's like this
sense.
Is mandatory on your obituary.
And it's mandatory to totally pad the record. Mm-hmm. You know, to like totally make up all this bullshit.
A lot of bad people are going to get away with a lot of bad stuff if that's allowed.
Yeah, that's our gift to the dearly departed.
Don't defame the dead. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
No, yeah. Let them gas up. It's,
gas
it's their the last
ass.
Thing. It's the last thing.
So this is what I would do about the Cyrus cylinder.
Yeah.
First off, love that it's a cylinder. But it's not really a cylinder, so I'm going to actually make it into a tube, okay? I'd also make it into a cardboard tube, like you know the ones you can get at like UPS?
Sure.
Right? So instead of it being something that can be hidden somewhere, Cyrus, open your ass a little bit and think for a second, okay? And understand that if you got one of those tubes that were able to be like sent around like with UPS or FedEx or whatever the fuck, you could send that cylinder to more people. So instead of putting it on clay, how about you print a poster with some cool images? Maybe you get AI to do it. I don't know. You're a bad guy, but you got AI to do it. I would get an artist. I'd be like, yeah. Go online, see what artists are doing, some cool shit. Ask them to make a funky poster. Uh-huh. And then put all my credits like that. Make it like a, like, check this out.
Yes.
Really blast it out.
Yeah.
And then send that to everybody. You're king. I'm going to hide three cylinders in a wall somewhere. Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. Let people know by sending out this cylinder, which is just the FedEx tube to keep the poster safe to as many people as possible.
Yeah, because Cyrus's thinking was long term. Yours is aggressively short term.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like that. And I feel like that's a sign of the time.
Amen to that.
All right. Okay, now we're talking about, how do we write this one down? Because I know we're talking about basically like specific caffeinated bevs and the liquid additions.
I was calling it liquid edition.
Yeah.
Liquid edition. That's what I was saying.
I would like to watch like House Hunter's Liquid Edition. I feel like that's where we're headed with the housing market. It's a whole house that it only exists for 1 second.
Yeah, the new house show is like us going up to like Blackstone or whoever that company is who owns all the building. Like, you know those private equity firms?
Yes.
It's just going up to one of those buildings in Manhattan and then one at a time us going up to the security desk and be like, is Mr. Clarkson able to see us? No. Okay. And then we just rotate and then no one's able to buy a house. But that's the show. It's really just
And we're just walking around for a really long time talking about how it would be so cool if we just get in one of these houses.
Please. Yeah. And it's just like us in line. That's the show.
Yeah. And it's everyone talking about what they assume it would be like to live in a house.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what jobs we have. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we actually live at this point. Because being in that line, you got to be there all day.
Mm-hmm. But that is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is liquid additions.
Okay.
Now, so I feel that this is your topic. Yes. So you can helm that a little bit.
I will. I'll hold on to it. So when you go out to get a coffee, or even if you're going out to get something of a stronger variation, all right,
sure.
Let's just call it a cocktail.
Okay.
Right? Every time you're offered that drink, let's say you get something, people are always surprised whenever you order whatever you're drinking as is, whether it's a coffee black or it's just whiskey neat.
Uh-huh.
People are always like, oh, okay, all right.
Yes.
I've
never really thought about that I guess a whiskey neat is the equivalent of a black coffee.
Yes,
you're totally right.
It's like
where you say it and people go, oh, okay.
Yeah, right. And I don't know why. I'm like, it's like, look, this person wants this drug as is.
Yeah, yeah,
they don't want any dilution of it. They don't want any frills. They don't want, they don't want to like live in the lie.
Yeah.
I'm here for this substance. Please give it to me as is. Now, I also get the liquid edition, oat milk, creamer, or like if you want an old fashioned, whatever. These are things to sweeten.
I feel like an old fashioned is so close to a whiskey neat. Like an old fashioned is always it's always surprising to me how much I hated it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like it's, you know, and someone will like really spend time making it, so I'm going like, okay, so this is going to be the good one then.
Yeah, no.
And I have it, I'm like, it's just the same as just drinking whiskey.
I'd rather
I
have
don't
a margarita.
Like it. I'd rather just not have anything. Like, it just doesn't
well, the
do
option is that. I'd rather have a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah. If sandwiches are available, I'm going to go ahead and skip that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or fries. Or like double fries. You know what I mean?
Or onion rings. Lately, I've been craving onion rings.
Those are good.
And
can we get back to the liquid additions?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I feel like I always go coffee black.
Me too.
And it just tastes better, I think. Like,
I agree.
It's easier.
Well,
yeah.
There's like, I love cold brew coffee.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
You really do. You love it.
It's
you love it more than most people I know.
I drink it. I don't care what the weather is.
Yeah,
I will have it when it's freezing as fuck.
Yeah.
It's great. I believe in thermodynamics.
Yeah.
So, but there are people that if it's hot out, right, and I drink something hot, my body will sweat and cool me down. If it's cold, I drink something cold, my body is going to warm myself up.
Oh, okay. And you're thinking of that as being an overall thermodynamic system.
My body is a rocket.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I accept it.
So, if like when I get a cold brew, it's always and I know why they're asking to. It's an upcharge.
Yeah,
it's a fucking upcharge to get oat milk. Yeah, it is.
Oh, you're right.
It's 75 cents. It's $1.80.
Yes.
It's $600.
Yeah, depending on the country.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, thank you. But I appreciate at times, like, if the coffee's not good, I do want that because I'm like, this tastes like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me something.
Man, I've really lost my ability to drink coffee that tastes like shit.
You can't do
it. I used to be able to do it.
Can't do it.
Although sometimes I'll still do it on an airplane.
Well, it depends. Like, don't drink coffee on an airplane.
Is it bad?
The water ain't good, bud.
Oh, God. The water ain't Everything good. Is. It's all sickness. I had like a stress dream last night. I was reading about the sort of lie of recycling or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was then reading about plastics in the water and plastics in fish and stuff.
It's
and
in us.
It's so bad.
It's bad. It so sucks. Bad. Once again, people naming towns, people running stuff. Bad dudes.
Yeah,
bad guys.
Yeah.
Bad
it's a lack of belief in the importance of the future. I think.
Yeah, it's sick.
Where they're like, oh, we'll just lie about it and it's this and it's fine. I'll be dead by then. It's like such bad.
I want a mom and pop polluter.
Yeah. Yes. Now, another thing I was thinking about with liquid additions is I've noticed that in some places I feel like embarrassed to order the thing that I want to order because it feels too bougie to me.
Like what?
Like I was in Chicago recently and I felt like I couldn't order a cortado because it felt too bougie to
what?
Me in the place that I went to. Yeah.
What? That's a classic Cuban drink?
I know. Well, I mean, I learned that because of you, but I think I learned it on this podcast. But no, I agree. I love it. But I maybe it's a self-conscious thing for me, but like a lot of the time it's sort of like what I'm going to get is a little bit dependent on where I am like ordering.
Sure,
where I'm kind of
sure.
going like, I don't want to like do the whole thing here. I'll just get a coffee.
I get that. I mean, that's also part of the simplification of just getting it as is. You're like, I don't have an order.
Yeah.
It's just the thing. Just give me the fucking thing.
Yeah.
To that point, I find it more discerning on like drinking. Like if I go to like a dive bar, I'm not asking for a martini.
Yes.
I don't want.
We've actually talked about that on here as well.
Yeah, it's like no, thank you. You're in a shot, right? Like certain places, obviously, are going to have the equipment.
Yeah,
and really the quality of ingredient that I want.
Yeah,
and within that too, it's just like there are certain places, like Starbucks, for instance, right? Or you know,
Starbucks. It's just like, the worst.
Their milks or their milk alternatives.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I don't think are going to be what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're gonna be the mass produced. Big name, big box shit, whatever the fuck it is to put in there, which is going to have all the crap that I never wanted anyway.
Yeah.
There's probably sugar in my cold brew that I didn't want.
That's probably true,
like,
yeah.
Anyway, but...
Well, I think that there's also a thing with, like, the ratio of the additional cream in a coffee where I kind of feel like the actual reason I don't do it is I feel like the ratio is always wrong, like that it's so hard to get the right ratio. Mm-hmm. And that also if you're adding cream, the only way to make the ratio balance right is by also adding sugar. And it feels to me, I go, oh, you got to just keep it black. Because then otherwise you're on this like up battle of like trying to get all of these other things aligned.
No.
It's too much.
It is so much.
Yeah.
I really do hate it when people ask for like cream or milk or coffee at a table. Because guess what? When they're pouring that milk out, it goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Milk goes everywhere.
It's splashy, dashy,
and then they do the stir and then the coffee spills out of the cup. And
I come from a non-coffee drinking family and I got into drinking coffee when I was probably like 15 or so. And I remember I would sit at these coffee places in Chicago and I would do the worst diner coffee you've ever had. But
you'd make it a milkshake.
I was going to say I would do two creams, two to three sugars.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tasting like Haagen-Dazs ice cream coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first coffee I drank, I was on a retreat in high school.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. This is me going wild.
Yeah.
And they had those... what are those creamers or like that brand? I forgot the fucking, they have like different flavors, vanilla, really
something, something mate.
Yeah. And I just like, once I discovered the flavor addition, I was like, yes, because now I'm not drinking the coffee, which is bad coffee, right?
Yeah.
But that's what was like exciting about it.
Yeah.
And then of course the drug aspect of it was like, I'm caffeinated.
But once
I got into good coffee.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you don't want to go back.
No.
Why?
That's how I feel about pour over coffee. Once you've tasted the reality of what pour over coffee is, all other coffee is so inferior.
I feel like at large, most people are cutting their drug because it's not good. It's like the quality of this shit is not. Why is Dunkin'?
I was thinking of shitting on Dunkin' as well.
It's just because it's
there was like, a Dunkin' Donuts half a block from my home where I grew up. And the coffee, it makes you go, oh, I should get like the vanilla mocha frappuccino because at least that has like a fun flavor. A black coffee from Dunkin' is a death sentence.
No, we Elizabeth and I were like, this is years ago where we were like, we're both like, let's fucking go to Dunkin'.
I actually remember this.
And we would go and we got like the cold brew with the fixings on it.
Yes.
And it was like, man, this is not what I remember.
I know.
My taste buds have changed.
No, the palate has totally changed.
And I just want a black coffee. It's like,
yeah.
And look, I appreciate what Dunkin' is. I appreciate the color scheme that they have for their signage.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I like what the donuts on the rack look like.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I like that it's Dunkin'. It's fun name. It's just Dunkin'. Like it.
Yeah.
Good on them.
And they, you're talking about how they brand changed to, you know that it's now just called Dunkin'.
No,
it's not Dunkin' Donuts anymore. It's Dunkin'.
No, it's Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't. I think
it's like a lot of these places where they're trying to move away a little bit from the thing that has negative, health connotations.
But that's no. You got to lean in because guess what? We're cycling back.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to Dunkin'. No donuts. No, no, thank you. You know where I'm going to go?
No, they'll always have donuts, but they're changing the brand name.
No, they fucking
won't. Yeah, you're probably right.
They're going to get rid of them. They're a coffee company now.
Yeah.
They're Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like, they're going to have a few donuts. Look at the overhead they're going to save on that dough. They don't got to make round with a hole cut out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's just fucking there.
Yes.
This is what I would do about liquid additions. Okay. Uh-huh. What I want is everyone to be walking around with like a backpack.
Yeah.
And maybe the backpack's like 6-7 feet tall, mm-hmm. right? And it's filled with different liquids, okay? And it has a spout on either one, just three though. You have three cylinders, each filled with a separate kind of liquid addition.
Mm-hmm.
These are your liquid additions for life.
Yeah.
Okay, now you get to choose what liquid additions you want.
I'm into this.
When you are 25 years old.
Oh, okay.
Old enough, but still dumb.
I think it should be 26.
Old enough, but still dumb. Buddy, when it's your turn, you can make it whatever you want.
Well, I'm pretty sure that like the...
you get off
like,
your parents' health insurance at 26.
You have like the formation of the brain and like the pure full development of the personality and all that sort of stuff. I think it's like the development of the brain, I think, stops at 26.
That's when they say like start drinking then, right?
Yeah. Or also that's when you got to start looking out for signs of like certain types of mental health issues.
Okay.
Just around 26.
Well, too late for me. I passed that age.
Yeah.
So
no, now you're all good.
Yeah, now I'm fine.
Yeah.
But you have those three. And also I like it because it's right before the final formation. So you kind of saddle with the, oh shit.
That's smart.
All right.
That's smart.
Kind of fucking hell.
Yeah. Embed a little regret into the culture.
You know my doo-doos. Okay. These are here to, I'm here to help people. Yeah. Bud.
Help and scare.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now what I would do.
Well, I'm not done.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Because you think you get to choose each one of those liquid additions? No, you don't.
Mm.
I get to pick one.
There we go.
Every single person's tube.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I choose that everyone has to carry in liquid form, okay, is going to be just melted down wax.
I picture the dystopic future where you're like a old like Guy Pearson old face makeup, you know, in like Prometheus.
Like Wayland Corp.
Yeah, you're like old and in bed and you still get to choose the tubes, you know? Like every person, there's this long line of people coming in and you're choosing their tubes.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're gonna need that the ship to find the key to life and you know, and make you young again, Wayland.
I got to get youngy.
That's what you're going to need. Now, I would do a similar thing, but mine would be sort of a little bit more in the Harry Potter universe of like, first of all, people get divided into houses based on, no questions right now, based on, you know, like some earlier sort of thing, like preference of like, I like my coffee like this, I like it like this. And so there's early preferences, and then you're in these houses, and then very much Harry Potter style, we're all competing in these like big elaborate games. And then at the ends of those games, you're all the while you're acquiring ingredients to make the agreed upon sort
but
of like flavor
the
palette.
Game, and you get that ingredient.
It's tricky. It's really tricky. And I have not worked out all the specifics. But basically, when you graduate from the Hogwarts style, we're not doing questions on this one. When you graduate from the Hogwarts style house, you have these ingredients that you then will not only use and cherish forever, but you'll associate with the fun formative years of your Hogwarts days. I hope that help.
Got to have that hog on him.
Yeah, I was thinking about hog on him as well.
We're talking about state dating apps.
That's correct. Yes. Enemy of the pod, Russell Kabir, sent me a thing earlier today that was basically Japan. They're talking about the government setting up a dating app in which like citizens would put in, you know, all their normal sort of stuff that you would put onto a dating app. They would also make it in Japan so that you have to have like a professional photograph of you for this.
Like in a suit or something?
I don't know. Like it just says like a professional photograph. I have no idea.
You can't do a selfie?
Some level of pixels, like it has to be high pixels or something. I'm like, I just truly have no idea. And then you also have to put stuff like your salary and stuff.
Oh my God.
And so Japan is doing this or talking about doing this because
that'd be fun as shit though.
And it would be free, I assume. I think, well, the thing I saw about it was that, you know, it would potentially, it would be free. But it's in order to address the declining birth rate in Japan.
Yeah.
And so this is the idea that will fix that or whatever. I think it's a very interesting idea. Like, I actually weirdly kind of think it's a good idea.
I think so, too. Like, again, everything in context of, like, who's in control of the machine.
Yeah.
And, like, Japan so far, I've never been, but, like, you know, look, everyone's got some hits, everyone's got misses.
Yeah.
It seems like in general, people vibe with what's going on there, I guess.
Yeah,
like
it's the best place.
So I'm like,
world.
I don't know, like, they got high speed rails and shit. I bet they dial that in.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But the salary is so funny to
it's
me.
It's very, very Japanese.
I do, like, you know, there's a level of massive level of insecurity when it comes to salary.
Yeah.
And like, because it's...
As an actor, you have to put a range.
Yeah.
You go most of the time zero. Sometimes I have amount of money. Sometimes.
Yeah. It's pretty surreal. It's something that I don't know. I know that in our industry, people do not talk about it, which I think we should talk more about how all of us are in financial dire straits all the time.
Absolutely all times.
And it just for a better mental, like, survivability, really. Yeah. You know, just being like, all right, so you're living beyond your means too?
Yeah.
But I don't know if people in other careers do that.
I think we all basically are. I mean, we're all experiencing massive inflation
nonstop. I just meant like the conversation
crisis.
Of like financial.
Oh, talking about it.
Yeah, like,
that's
how much you earn, whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
But there, I think part of that goes into the American ideal that, like, if I'm not earning, I'm not valued.
Yeah.
Like, how can I be a good partner to somebody if I don't bring financial support to this, right?
Yeah.
Not that, like, it's not that you're just like doing nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just literally the work that you're doing doesn't garner this like dollar amount.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're not a good catch. Which
I
think we all can relate to that in some capacity of just that fear and that just like a constant dread of like, oh my God, I gotta earn more, whatever the fuck it is. So that's fun because if I went in there now, right? Let's say I'm single.
Yeah.
And I go in there dropping like what I'm making.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That would actually be fun as shit to find someone who's like,
Yes, I agree. Well, you're basically applying to be a kept man. Like, when your salary's as low as what we'd be putting on there,
it's like, yeah.
You're kind of going like, anybody want to be my mommy?
Like, I need someone to feed me and clean me.
Please help me out. Yeah, well, I think it directly affects the quality of what the picture needs to be. Like, I'm going to really get a good picture because I have no money.
Oh, yeah. And that also says I got a lot of time.
Yeah.
I think a state mandated dating app in America would be terrifying.
Well, not mandated, but state run.
But it would, at a certain point, you'd have to do it.
Well, like, I feel like, I listen a lot to this one dating podcast that I love called Seth in the City from Josh Brenner and Seth Brenner and Megan Falcone. It's great. Give it a listen. I love it. But my main takeaway from it is that the dating apps are pure hell.
Yeah.
But also, like, I feel like one of the problems with it is that a lot of the time it's like the nebulosity of what a person wants going into it. And so all these different reasons bring people to it. And then there's all these different, like, thinking about how to put what my height is, what I like, and what is important to me, and all these sort of things.
Yeah.
That I kind of go, like, it's a game. Like, the apps are like a game. Well, and it's like kind of a misdirection game.
Totally. Well, it's for profit.
Yes.
They need to keep you on there. And the longer you're on that app, the more they can mine off your profile or whatever the fuck it is. Using it for the purposes of, like, propagation of the species, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it has, like, the actual intention of going,
it's
like,
a different thing.
We're trying to create more human life.
Yeah, then they're like, look, we want you to, like, link up and do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I think at a, like, if a government does
it would be bad here though. You're right.
Because it would be for profit. Yeah. And it would be insane because then it would be,
and they'd be like selling your info to like the medical
classes, it'd be racist.
It would be really bad, horrible. Yeah. It would have constant data leaks.
There is a oh my God, yeah. There's a dating app I don't know where else. I think New York. I don't know. It's probably everywhere. It's called Raya. I don't know. There's
That's everywhere. That's everywhere.
That's okay.
It used to be more like really exclusive and then like slowly opened up. But I feel like, and again, I've heard this actually on the podcast I just talked about.
Okay.
I feel like people go, now people on it like have this attitude of like, I'm on Raya.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it used to be a really, like, the only way you could get on that app.
Yeah, you had to know Ben Affleck.
You had to go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
but someone there had to bring you in. Like, every person who was in Raya, then had two like user names to give out. And like that was it. It's the only way you're getting in. So like it was like super, super disturbing.
But also there was something about like you have to have some level of like fame or success or something.
I mean, that just what
it's almost like blue check marks.
Well, that's what it became. That's what I think it was initially to safely have celebrity
fuck, and
then like not have the rabble of us know that you're on Tinder.
It was that.
It was supposed to be a closed system. Not for long, baby. Because guess what? If you're a horned up celeb, you're gonna start fucking other people. Sorry.
Feels like a tangent.
But there is something really interesting about that because that makes so much sense in, and like it's a really fun pillar in of like, okay, what does a dystopian government do?
Yeah.
What it controls your dating life to?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. But like, yeah. It can go that way.
But like we never see,
if you go in, it's probably naive, but if you go in with like the actual sincerity of like, I'm trying to find a partner,
you will.
And this program is trying to help you. And honestly, it's like not as, I wouldn't say, opaque as a lot of the dating apps are. And it's instead going like, these are my statistics. I feel like it's Japan, so it would also have your blood type. but like, I feel like all of that sort of info, I don't know. Like, my instinct is that it's bad and weird. But then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't think it's more weird than Tinder.
No. My hope for it too is like showing how it can be done correctly. You know what I mean? Like, look, we're going to try to shut this down in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Like 10 years, we're shutting it down.
Because we have too much, our population is boomed
people
too
are
much.
Okay. We're back at it, baby.
Yes. Yes.
This is what I would do about a state run government app. Obviously, they're
dating app. A state run government app is what you said.
Yeah. But the government's running the app.
You can also sometimes be wrong. I think there's sometimes power in admitting that you misspoke and that you didn't intend the thing you said that made no sense and that you don't have to like qualify how actually it made sense. Sometimes I think it would be really moving to the listening audience if you just said, oh, huh, I'm human too, I misspoke. Instead of going, yeah, government, a state-run government app. That is what I meant. I don't think there's power in lying like that.
You just talked a lot.
Not
you
that
just
long,
talked a
but
lot,
again,
man.
Again,
you
it was the lot, it was the, ex- you just the compression and expansion of time for you because you felt like
I can run the fucking clock back, dude. Okay.
I would guess it's about 30 seconds.
Yeah, why don't you add a couple zeros to that? Okay,
3,000 seconds.
So this is what I would do about state government run apps that have to do with dating. Okay, this is what I would do. Mm-hmm. There has to be a whole department allocated for that. Okay, so it's just going to be a whole bunch of tech junkies doing that on their fucking computers, pounding on the keys, hoping to God something gets done because they don't have any oversight.
Yeah.
This is a government wing. There's going to be a lot of bureaucracy, but we got to make it cool. We got to make it chill because you want the people creating this. There shouldn't be a lot of red tape. There shouldn't be a lot of collating. You got to go to this office, et cetera. Yeah. It should be all done in the app. So that means that that new system, that new like government branch, it's got to be really cool.
Yeah.
So what do? You go around Japan, let's just say America, right?
Yeah.
You got to go around all the cool cities. You got to go to Silver Lake.
Yeah.
You got to go to Greenpoint. You know what I mean?
Neighborhoods and cities.
Different neighborhoods, right? You know what I mean? You got to, every single cool neighborhood in every single pocket of this country, we're going, picking a handful of people.
Uh-huh.
We're bringing these sexy young singles. We're putting them in one location in a government building. And guess what? We got a reality show.
I was going to say, it's a reality show.
This is what it is.
So that's what you would do with the app, is that you would just make a reality show.
Yeah, and then the app will figure itself out.
Yeah.
But we got all these sexy
young... Oh, okay, but the reality show about the sexy young people is kind of like an advertisement for the government-run government state app.
I mean, whenever that gets done, but like the show is happening and like we had now this promotional tool to say, hey, guess what? Why don't you come to the sexy house?
The app's going to fall by the wayside and it's just going to become a new reality dating show.
But it's government run by the state.
Yeah, that I think is bad. I think that is really bad. But I like that idea. Now, the thing that I would do with the government run dating app is I would mix in a Men in Black element to it, and I would go ahead and make this into a feature comedy. And let me explain the comedy to you. So we have like...
I know what a comedy is.
We have the dating department, right? And let's say we have like two guys working there. Let's say it's like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in like the late 90s. And they're doing it. It's very, very similar to Men in Black, okay? It's very, and I just want to address that right from the beginning. It's very, very similar. And there's a bunch of the tech and a lot of the aesthetic stuff. And we do have Rip Torn there as well. And he is just the character from Men in Black.
Didn't he like, pass?
Or? He passed, yeah. But so we're just going to use the footage from Men in Black, but we'll cut it together in a way that makes sense.
You want to zoom him? Or?
It'll just make sense the way that we're going to edit it. We have a whole plan for the edit. And we're going to youngify him as well. Doesn't matter.
But, after you've exhumed him? Or?
Well, no, it's all going to just be just editing the original Men in Black, Men in Black 2, and maybe even MIB 3. Instead of chasing aliens, they're trying to get people to date.
They're chasing tail.
But the main way that the dating thing is going is they get really fixated on this one couple that they think really should be together based on the statistics that they have in their computing program. But the couple is not working out. And so they keep, and so we're also mixing in elements of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. We're not doing questions right now. Where they keep memory erasing them and then setting them up again and then going like, why isn't it working? And then at the end, they realize that they were looking at the wrong profiles and that those two people should never be together. And that erasing the memory over and over can give you a form of CTE. Yeah. And so the whole thing becomes kind of honestly an exploration of CTE and the effects of brain traumas. So that's what I would do about a government run.
What about
dating app.
Hitch?
There's probably some elements of Hitch in there as well.
You should really do that because that's
if we could get the physical comedy of Kevin James brought into this, then I think. Why are you saying zoom him?
Exhume.
Oh, everyone get. You think that when an actor is hired, that's called exhumed? Is that are you? It's been so long since you've worked that you're like, I'm pretty sure that's.
Why not? It's a word, right?
Exhumed. Yeah. Well, anyway, I hope that helped.
I hope that helped.
This is a good one, and I'm feeling like we're going to have a similar perspective on this, but having also lived with you, I kind of am going like, maybe I'm wrong. We're talking about sleeping in.
That the activity that you don't do anything.
Yes.
All right.
And staying in bed until...
Whenever.
It's been so long since I've stayed in bed for a long time. Yeah. Like, I would say that I slept in today, and I got up at 8.
That's sleeping in.
That felt pretty good.
That's sleeping in.
But... I when I was growing up, I loved sleeping in.
Well, you
it
also
is like,
need sleep.
Yes.
When you're a little kid and like you fucking need sleep. We all need sleep.
Yeah.
But when you're like, you're developing, sleep is so important and you're deprived of it at so many turns.
Yeah. It's well, and also, you know, self-deprivation too, because I love staying up late.
Oh my God.
Always want to stay up late.
Yeah, you're tugging off.
Yeah, well, there's the tugging aspect of it. But then there's also, I remember In Living Color would come on at 10 p.m.
Oh my God, yes.
And so I always was like, I got to watch In Living Color. And that no, I think it was actually at 9 because at 10 they would do a rerun of The Simpsons.
Well, I would always stay up for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, so we all had our kinks.
Yeah, that was the shit.
Yeah. But sleeping in, to me, now I still love the idea of it, but I associate a lot of guilt with it. And like I feel like my parents would guilt me over it a lot when I was a kid. And then I feel like there are a lot of ways in which you can feel guilty about it as an adult.
I pop up out of bed. Because I have, like, I'm just like, okay, if I stay in bed, like, it's, you're not going to leave. So it's like, when I wake up, I normally just immediately just like, okay, go up and do my thing. And then I'm just sitting, drinking coffee, going like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Okay, now I got to do all this. There is something that's so...
It's so hard to fall back asleep, though, for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just there's something nice about waking up.
Yeah.
And then, like, closing your eyes and, like, meditating for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just, like, not sleeping, but just, like, getting your mind... into the space that you're in now and getting your body ready and projecting for the day and all that shit.
I have the immediate mental math every morning, is the first thing that I do how much sleep I got.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, I'll wake up and I'll go like, what was the last clock number that I saw? Yeah. Oh, probably like 12:30. Mm-hmm. So then if it's 6:30, okay, so 6 hours, I guess that's enough.
I do a lot of like thinking, like my proper thinking, laying down, eyes closed. Not sleeping, but just like, you know, just like a pharaoh sleep.
Yeah.
I do a lot of my thinking that way of like, okay, let me think of this bit. Or let me, I got the, what am I doing?
Okay.
Here, like game break something, whatever the fuck it is. So I like that position, but for whatever reason in the morning, even though I'm saying like the positive, this never do it.
Gotta get up. Yeah. Well, I do feel like, you know, it's also like the sort of like change in your perception of time as you get older as well. Where I'm just like, I got so much shit I gotta do. I just gotta start doing it right now.
Yeah.
it's like it's being laying in bed is just it's hard as
it's a waste
shit.
Of time. Yeah. But it's so nice.
It's so wonderful. So
much, like, and that's all I want to do. Yeah, all you want to do is sleepy sleep, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know. I don't know what like.
I like when it's a classic. I say this all the time, but I love when other people do it. But I kind of feel like I don't know anyone who does it. Like I feel like by the time we you're like
well, we're the ones who would be sleeping in.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like that like of all our friends
also a lot of our friends who I would feel like would be sleep in type guys. I feel like a lot of them took these turns in their 30s where then they're like actually I get up at 6 and I go running.
Well, you got to find a purpose, dude.
Yeah.
It's like true. Like I do think part of the sleeping in thing and part of the like guilt or whatever is like it's associated with depression at times, right? Like if you're sleeping in too much and all the other shit, it's like you just want to be asleep. You don't want to be engaged in the day.
Yeah.
But like that, which is true, right? And that's a real thing. But there is also this other factor of like, hey, it's a nice little treat.
Yeah.
Like I like the, the siesta. I like the idea that like, hey, guess what? In the middle of the day, we're all going to take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds beautiful. Nap. Well, like I keep fantasizing about like if I got like a guest part on a show right now or something where I'd be like in another era where I'm like put up in a hotel or something like for a few days, I would go, oh, I'm sleeping in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Any day I'm not working, I'm going to sleep deep all day, you know. That sounds like a nice treat. But I also think a lot about, my mom would always say this, that like she, even if she had nothing to do, she's like unable to sleep in, you know. And I feel like I'm starting to hit that now. Where I'm sort of like, I'll have the intention of sleeping in, but I'm like, there's no way it's going past 8.
So you're just not relaxed.
Or it's just like it's more like my body. I guess that maybe that is not relaxed, but my body is like, oh, almost like this hurts. You know, where it's almost like, you just got to like get up.
There's
and
something
have some
you're not doing. You
got
to be up.
Yeah.
No, it's like, we should be in a state. I think like we're not, but I think as a human race, we should all feel comfortable to be like, I can sleep in, and that won't hurt my life.
Here's what I would do about sleeping in is I think it's time that we get like sleep pods where it's sort of like for space travel, where like you set a thing and then you sleep for like an exact amount of time.
Interesting.
And so like we all have our little pods and you go in there and you set like I'm going to close it and I'm going to fall asleep exactly the moment that door closes and then I'm going to wake up at 8.
That's a Fifth Element space pod travel system.
Yes. I guess I do weirdly have Prometheus on the mind today because I am kind of thinking of that sort of pod like a space travel like Fifth Element where they do like the little gas in there or whatever. Yep. That's right. I forgot about that ruby rod. So that's what I would do.
This is what I would do about sleeping in. Why don't we add an extra N to the inn? And what I would do is I create this building and a business where people who are traveling could stop at my location and spend the night.
Yeah, I think that is a hotel. I think that's the name of a hotel.
No, it's called Sleeping Inn, where people could stop.
I think that is one.
And then because they're tired
or
because they're going to be tired later.
You're describing a hotel.
Let me finish. You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
And they get a room. Right? Clean room. It's cleaned every time anyone uses it. Full staff to do that. Right? They're paid.
Maid service.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they make it. So they come, you sleep in the room, and then you can go back on your travels. And I call that a sleeping inn. I-N-N. That's what it is. And I can have these all across the country. Everywhere. And all these little nooks and crannies and all these places you didn't even think. You're like, because people are traveling everywhere, right? And they can vary in quality. They can vary in like customization. They can vary in like the size of it. Is it small enough that no one can get in?
Uh-huh.
That wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be beneficial businessly. But like if you're thinking about it. Like,
wouldn't be beneficial businessly.
No, it wouldn't.
That, I mean, what a phrase. I think we'll go ahead and leave it there.
Awesome.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You've kind of like blacked out and you like forget like where you are, what's happening, whatever it is. And then like this big door opens in front of you and you hear this loud crowd.
Oh shit, gladiator shit.
and you step out, and there's like everything is highly presidential.
No.
You're on like a presidential stage. It's like a presidential inauguration type thing. There's more coming, sweetie pie.
Okay, well, I got it.
And you see, you know, it's like there is the Secret Service. You know, you see all these people, Lincoln Memorial, all this stuff.
This doesn't matter.
And you go, oh, I vaguely remember where I am. You know, it's again, it's kind of like this classic Quantum Leap sort of situation for you. And then they go, here he comes now. Joey Greer is going to show us all the official dance of 2024.
Wow.
And you walk out on the stage, spotlight, crowd going insane, and then silence. And now you, what is the dance?
Well, my first instinct, and I want to, and like, I don't know if this is, I'll say it, but it won't be what it is.
Mm.
Doors open, hear the crowd, gladiatorial entrance is what I'm thinking. Yeah. First thing I do, first person I see, I just start beating to death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my.
Look, dude, honestly, in America 2024, that sounds like it's going to be the new dance.
Jerk. That's my knee jerk. Yeah. That's not what I do. Get up there, spotlight on me. Everyone's
Yeah. But you don't do that, but you did think it. So you pass the guy that you would have beaten the shit out of.
Check him.
Yeah. And in your mind, you're like, you don't even know what I just saved you from.
This guy would have killed me.
He's a trained, Marine, he's a veteran.
This guy's got, you know what
he's
I mean?
He's gonna like, whoop your fucking ass.
High and tight.
Yeah.
Got the earpiece in there and all that shit. Mm-hmm. He hates wearing a suit. He wishes he'd be wearing just
And there is not one person on earth he hates more than you.
Oh, yeah, because he wants to dance.
Yeah.
So I get up there and they ask, okay, here's a dance of 2024.
Yeah.
Of course I make it up. Yeah. But it's not just something I'm gonna do for a couple seconds, just get out of it. I do it for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's it.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
That's like the best way, like when you didn't do the homework. What you are turning in is so long that they go like, I guess he spent a lot of time on this. You do this 25 minute long dance and then everyone's kind of like, oh, I thought it was like a dance, like the floss or something like that we would all do, but I guess it's like a long interpretive dance. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of go like, all right, that's all good.
So the conditions I'm going to give you
are
going to be like one or the other. Okay,
so great. Sounds very lazy of you.
But they're actually really complicated.
Great. I'm sure they are, and I'm sure they only have one right answer.
So, your teeth are gone. All your teeth are gone.
Okay.
You have two options of what you can put inside your gum holes to chew with for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is toothpicks.
Yeah.
Okay? Single toothpick for each tooth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or the second one is gum.
Toothpicks.
Really?
Yeah, the gum one, it's not a good option. It doesn't make any sense.
Jam-pick.
Okay, then the gum. Then I'll do the gum. I'll put gum on my gums. It's great. Okay, did you watch the animated Batman
You
were growing up? Like animated, that first one.
Oh, yeah,
one,
yeah.
You know,
where it was like old school Gotham?
Yeah. It's so good. Now, my favorite character villain on that was Clayface.
Clayface was great.
Great character. You have that power. You're like a big clay blob, but you
can
turn into anything. Are you? What do you do with this power? Are you a good guy or are you a bad guy?
What I do is I turn into a couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I put myself on the side of the road,
mm-hmm.
and then I have people pick me up. Like, I'm like a couture, a beautiful couch. People are like, oh my God, we're going to thrift this. And then they go in there and like, they're thinking they're going to like sell it. And then I turn into me again. I go, no, you're not. And then I walk out and do that all the time.
I love that. You're kind of just like a local P2P prank show.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people, if they're trying to sell a couch, like, they need money.
I've wasted their time.
And so you've wasted their time, and
I'm a villain.
They've hauled you around.
I'm a villain, dude.
And so all that time, you could become a tiny object.
Oh, I get heavier in the car, so, like, the more gas.
Yeah, you're making it, you're like, oh, he's not struggling enough. I'm going to make him struggle more.
Okay, let's go back to you. Okay.
So, sure.
Again, one or the other, okay? You lose your hand. They're severed off, okay? But there's enough of like a little joint finger that we can jam something in and give you another hand. You have two options to decide what your hands are going to be. The first one is toothpicks.
Oh, okay. Now that's interesting. The first option is
the second one.
Toothpicks. Okay.
Are two Ford F-150s.
Okay.
Which one do you choose?
I guess I'm going to do the Ford F-150. What? Fine, then the toothpicks. I mean, your imagination is cracked. It is broken. It's broken, and it doesn't work anymore. You become best friends with this group of guys. You're hanging out at a bar. It's like NBA Finals night, and you guys are all pro, the same team, whatever, and you guys all become best pals. And the team you guys all want to win wins. So it's like a party kind of night. Let's say you're in another state, and so the guys are like, they're loving your vibe. And they go like, hey, man, we're going to let you in on a little secret.
What is it?
We go out to this field like all the time, like once a week.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we get picked up by aliens. Come with us. And so you're super hyped on this. Yeah. You go with them.
They're going to jump me.
You're a little bit kind of going like, you're having fun, but you're kind of going like, I think they're going to jump me. And you guys go out to this field, and, you know, the, one of the guys, like, it gets kind of heavy. Like, he's talking about, like, you know, something Lies sad, and you're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Yeah. And then, bam, a bright light in the sky. And you're like, oh, my God, really, it's happening. And then the little tractor beam's kind of going around, trying to pick one of the guys, lands right on you. Oh, and you're shit. Like, oh, shit. You get sucked up.
So right, they're aliens that, like, were harvesting me. Like,
you get sucked up into this spaceship.
Yeah.
And you see these grays, these alien grays. No, but hold on. Right. Right when you, they drop you down and you're there. And then they all are so scared. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, no. And it's all about you. And they're all looking at you.
Yeah.
How do you, what do you do in this situation?
Well, I got to shut them up.
Yeah.
So I off all of them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, a part of me thinks that they were going to jump me.
Yeah.
And that hasn't left.
Yeah.
The grays that they were like, no, they're not. They
no one at any point was going to jump you. These guys brought you into their thing. There's actually something else here. Why are the aliens scared? What is it about you that you're not going to try and inquire? You go right into John Wick mode and you're trying to.
I wipe these aliens out. First off, because I'm doing something for humanity. I'm letting them know.
That's how you rationalize it in the moment.
You come to America,
you
get fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm having.
But they've had a peaceful relationship with those guys for a long time.
Yeah, I'm in another state.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, if you're in America, this is how we do interact. Like, ain't no fucking way you're coming into our house, opening my kitchen, and looking into the refrigerator and saying, we got to add a couple liquid additions.
Yeah.
It's a callback.
Yeah.
Right. Kinda, so what I do is I just start punching them in the stomach as hard as I can. Everyone, and they're like little soft.
I was gonna say, that level of space travel has got to make their bodies quite weak.
And I'm just like puncturing their stomachs, and they're like guts are pouring.
Yeah, because they can't have dense bones.
Oh my god! Like, and they're speaking English.
Yeah,
the guy's trying to put his guts back into that hole. Yeah. Other aliens are running around. I grab one of those big ass heads of theirs, lift them up legs. I open my mouth and I just swallow it whole. I mean, I am knocking them around. God. Okay, elbow the little like tractor beam hole, it opens up and just like boom, you know, it's like a little pops open, and I just jump down
and back. All the guys are like, wasn't it awesome up there, man? It's always the most transcendent, beautiful experience.
I'm like, yeah, it fucking was, dude.
Hey, what's all this goo on you?
It's just some shit. Hey, let's get a drink.
Yeah. nice
Here we go. This is your conditional again. You're gonna get a one.
I didn't think that this one was gonna get good or anything.
Okay.
Got it in, baby.
Cool. Great. Okay. So you are looking to buy a home. All right. You're at a bank. The gentleman who's helping you, or woman, right, who's helping you.
I'm at the bank? Okay.
You're looking at foreclosed homes. The bank is foreclosed, and they have like a little like pamphlet.
They got like a Tinder app style. Yeah, like whatever you want. Flicking through houses.
Yeah. It's all sad stories and shit. And you're like, okay. You look at these two homes, and they're like, great. Problem is, you have no money.
Uh-huh.
But.
And the bank surely knows that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But they're willing to take something else. You have two options to provide them outside of money. Lou of cash, okay? Not the guy named Lou who made of cash, okay?
Sure, I didn't think that. Yeah, great. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I didn't think it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one is a really, really precious drawing you have of me. It's a handmade drawing you've done of me. Okay. The bank really wants it.
Yeah.
Really cool picture.
Yeah.
Everyone sees it, loves it.
Yeah. I'm picturing that it's basically you, it's like an exact replica of the drawing from Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah. But me.
Yeah. It's focused on like your breasts and you laying on the couch and and then it always brings back a steamy memory of us in a car.
And
a
instead
after.
Of it, like there's instead of a cushion in front of my genitalia, there's I'm holding a hog.
Yeah, yeah, a tiny little like
warthog. It's a full grown hog.
Yeah, and it's scared as hell.
But
yeah.
I'm holding it,
mm-hmm.
fucking holding that hog. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is $500 million in cash.
Oh, yeah. I guess the picture. I'll give him the picture. Like, you're saying that they're going to accept them.
So you give up something so precious and cared for by so many people.
I knowing myself like I do, I think I would be really happy to gift that to someone else to get it out of my life. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. And if you, you know, if you're a Patreon subscriber, I'm sorry we didn't use one of your emails today. We had to give it to the little guys.
That's just how it is.
That's just how it is. Goodbye.
Bye.